Janet Copenhaver is the Washington representative of federally employed women, and they are celebrating success stories of the federal women's program. Janet, what's the background of these success stories? Why are you celebrating them, and why are you celebrating them now? It's great to talk to you, as always.
Sure. Thanks, Francis. Yes, we embarked on this effort a couple months ago because the federal women's program, which began about 45 years ago, was instrumental in training women in their careers, professionally, offering mentoring opportunities, and just basically the first stop for if women had problems or issues with gender discrimination, the Federal Women's Program Manager was their first stop. And it was very successful. And then over the years, over the decades, while the law is still on the books, it kind of got lost in the shuffle. And we're now to the point where these programs have been They're just at a critical demise in federal agencies. While they're still required to have these federal women program manager positions, these people who serve in these positions don't know what they're supposed to do or don't have enough time. They're doing it on the weekends. And we're seeing also a corresponding slight drop in the number of women in the senior executive service. So we embarked on this effort actually many years ago, about 6 years ago, to get these programs back into where they were at the beginning and to be more effective, get the support they need from top management. And for 6 years we've been working on it, and we're getting a little frustrated, so now we're taking it up a notch.
You pointed me to these success stories, Janet, and I appreciate you doing that. We'll link it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. But the notes at the beginning say that the point of this, as you said, is to illustrate the effectiveness of the federal women's program. In the several decades since Executive Order 11478 integrated the federal women's program into the Equal Employment Opportunity Program. So this is a big deal, and this is serious business. Do you have a sense of why it's kind of gotten lost within the agencies, as you described a moment ago?
I think with collateral duties and people just being responsible for more and more different aspects of their agencies, people just got too busy. And then I don't know what happened, really, why people forgot about them. I think they weren't getting the support, both financial and just support from top agencies for the time and resources that they needed to make these programs or keep these programs as effective as they were 20, 30 years ago. And you mentioned our document. It is on, you're going to have it on your website. It's on FEW's website at FEW.org. And you can see we have every state. There's a success story from every state. And it's great because you can see how women moved from a GS-2 to 14-15 because of advice that they received from a federal women's program manager along the way, and just shows how they were able to move up through their careers and end on a very good note.
This list of success stories is interesting to me because they're all first-person stories. You point that out at the beginning, but as you go through them, it's compelling because these women are telling their experiences rather than, you know, you guys went out and had some professional writer write all this stuff up. It's really, to hear these one-on-one intimate stories is really powerful, I think.
Oh, yes, and that's how we did the survey. We said, we want you to tell us your story, and it was from two angles. One was either if you were an employee that benefited from a federal women's program or advice that you received from that federal women's program manager, or if you served as a federal women's program manager, what advice did you give to help someone? And in some instances, as you read through the states, it's someone who is in both. They actually benefited, so then they wanted to serve as a federal women's program manager to give back. And you see some really good stories about how they have helped people. Several of them are, I got out of that clerical track. I got out of my comfort zone because someone kept saying to me, you can do it, go back for your education, or you want to do this upward mobility program. And it's that kind of advice that they're just not getting now, and I think that's why we're seeing a slight decrease in the number of women in those senior positions.
Janet Copenhaver is a Washington representative of federally employed women. Okay, I wanted to see if you had some favorites of these. I know you love them all. I know you would never say that there are some that you that are your absolute favorite. But were there some that jumped out at you that you found the stories particularly compelling? Because I got a couple that I wanted to point out, but you go first.
Oh. Well, I have, you know, Kentucky was one of those there.
Oh, you took the one I wanted to.
Oh, that is too funny. But that is one where they kind of got out of their comfort zone. I did like Massachusetts is one that, you know, again, she was able to move. And, yeah, I did like a lot of them.
All right, the Kentucky one that we have in common here. In 1979, I transferred to a GS-2 file clerk position. That probably doesn't even exist anymore.
I don't think so.
And was promoted to a GS-3-4 position, got involved in the FWP, trained in military pay, retired pay, and so on. Because of all the training and opportunities afforded to me via the FWP, I was able to qualify for it and was accepted into a GS-11 slot. I'll retire this year after 36 years of service.
Right.
That's a pretty good story.
It is a good story. And there's, you know, and I can't remember the state, but there's one that the woman put together a plan, a diversity plan, and got to make that presentation before the chief of staff, who was way up, and he was so impressed that he actually hired her. So through the guidance that she got from her federal women's program manager and the opportunity to work on this plan, she really moved up and the plan was put into place. So yeah, there were some really great stories, and I was so happy to be able to put this together. And of course, this is only the best stories from each state. So, you know, we had hundreds of stories that came in.
Yeah, that was where I was going to go next, is that there is one from each state, but there's only one, and I can't imagine that the bench must be really deep on these, Janet.
Exactly. And, you know, we couldn't make the document 50 pages long, but the point was that we wanted to show, look, every state has been impacted, and that's for our efforts on Capitol Hill, because we're trying to get legislators to now contact the White House and say, okay, you need to do something to revamp these programs, because they're very effective. Here's the specific examples of how they have helped women. And, you know, maybe if congressional pressure, we can maybe get the White House to do something.
Do you have a sense or an opinion of what you'd like that to look like, or are you just more concerned about the fact that it's back on the radar screen at this point?
Well, what we want, and we think it's an easy ask, what has happened over the years is it's not a specific, oh, we're not going to have this position. We're not going to give you the support that you need. That's not a conscious decision like that. But it's more of, we don't know what you're supposed to be doing. We don't know the requirement is on the books. These managers don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. So all we have been asking the White House to do is just send out an instructional memorandum. The executive order is already in place. You don't have to do anything with that. But just remind agency heads, you know what? These positions need to be filled. They need to be supported. They need to be given the resources. They need to be effective. And that's all we're doing, and we've even written everything. So we're trying to get, you know, something from the White House, maybe it's from OPM, to just say these laws are on the books, they're effective programs, and you need to give them the support they need.